Buenos días. La lectura está tomada de Hechos, capítulo 2, versículos 1 al 12. Cuando llegó el día de Pentecostés, estaban todos juntos reunidos en un mismo lugar. De repente, vino del cielo un ruido como una ráfaga de viento y llenó toda la casa donde estaban reunidos. Se les aparecieron entonces unas lenguas como de fuego que se repartieron y se posaron sobre cada uno de ellos. Todos fueron llenos del Espíritu Santo y comenzaron a hablar en diferentes lenguas según el Espíritu les concedía expresarse. Estaban de visita en Jerusalén judíos piadosos, procedentes de todas las naciones de la tierra. Al oír aquel bullicio, se agolparon y quedaron todos pasmados, porque cada uno los escuchaba hablar en su propio idioma. Desconcertados y maravillados decían: ¿no son galileos todos estos que están hablando? ¿Cómo es que cada uno de nosotros los oye hablar en su lengua materna? Partos, medos, elamitas, habitantes de Mesopotamia, de Judea y de Capadocia, de Ponto y de Asia, de Frigia y de Panfilia, de Egipto y de las regiones de Libia cercanas a Cirene, visitantes llegados de Roma, judíos prosélitos, cretenses y árabes, todos por igual los oíamos proclamar en nuestra propia lengua las maravillas de Dios. Desconcertados y perplejos se preguntaban: ¿qué quiere decir esto?
Gracias, Eve. The word of God for the people of God.
I wonder if you bow your heads and pray for me and with me. Lord, I pray that you'll bless the words of my mouth and that your Spirit will continue to rise among us and descend upon us and give us not just peace, but power. And I pray, Lord, that we might be a people who would long to do your will. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. They came from all over. They came from all over the world. They came from the Mediterranean basin, all the way from Italy, all the way down to Egypt, and even further over to what we would now call Libya in that area. They came from Persia, Cappadocia, Mesopotamia. They came from everywhere, and they came to Jerusalem because they were making a pilgrimage because it was Pentecost. Pentecost in Judaism in the first century was a harvest festival. It celebrated the wheat harvest. And it was a festival, but it was a religious experience. They came to the temple to give God thanks, but it was an event. You know an event, right? My hometown, beautiful Winchester, Virginia. Every year, Apple Blossom Festival. Oh, yes. When I was a kid, you'd go downtown to the fair. We were somebody. Well, I mean, it was a little town, but we were somebody during Apple Blossom. You know why? Marching bands from California. Oh, yeah. Fire trucks from Pennsylvania, as far away as Pennsylvania. Oh, yeah. There were people who came from the hinterlands of West Virginia to deep inside the Washington Beltway. They all came to my town. It was an event. And you could hear the language of everybody, the Northern Virginia people and the West Virginians. It was all there, all speaking in different tongues and languages. It was powerful to be a kid at Apple Blossom because it really did feel like people just coming from everywhere. That's Jerusalem, although much bigger. Jerusalem, first century, Pentecost. Because, see, the Jewish people had been in what's called the diaspora. They had been spread around the world, and it's the only reason they survived, because they were persecuted everywhere they went. They were run over. They lost the battles. I mean, if they hadn't pushed out and found these enclaves all over the world, they wouldn't have made it. And they learned the culture, and they learned the language, and when they came back to Jerusalem, they were one people, but they were not one people. They were speaking all of those languages. They were doing all those things. That was Pentecost. And the disciples, in the midst of all that, the disciples and Jesus' mother Mary and the brothers of Jesus, they were not in the midst of all that. They were in an upper room, and they were waiting. And the reason they were waiting is that Jesus, only a few days earlier, had said to them, toward the end of that 40-day period when the resurrected Jesus appeared to his disciples, he said, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait." Say, wait for what? Now do it really loud. Jesus said to wait for the power. Wait for the power from on high. For you, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus said to them, wait for the power. Don't do anything until you get the power. And right before that, Jesus said, you're going to be my witnesses. And you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem. And they probably thought, oh, we know Jerusalem. I mean, we're not from here, but we're comfortable. We know where the streets go. And Jesus said, and in Judea? And they said, we've got people in Judea. We'll go to our family. We'll go to our friends. We're from Judea. And then Jesus said, and in Samaria? And they said, hold it. Hold it. Samaria, the former Israel, where the Assyrians had come, and those people had all caved and intermarried with the Assyrians. They don't worship like us. They're not like us. And it was not diversity is a good word. And their hearts began to harden right there. And then Jesus said, and to the ends of the earth. He said, hey, don't do anything, but wait for the power. Because if you're going to keep that commission, if you're going to do that thing, if you're going to speak about Jesus in those places, you're not going to be able to do it alone. You're going to need the power. The power of the Holy Spirit falling down upon you. It was Pentecost. And while everybody else was on the street, and while everybody else was having the event and going to the temple, they were in the upper room waiting because the Lord had said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And they knew that was going to be a hard thing, because it's always a hard thing to speak about Jesus, isn't it? Hey, can I ask you, how many times last week did you speak about Jesus? Anybody? Anybody got a one? I got about four hands up here. Seriously, I got another one right here. It's not easy to speak about Jesus. It's just not. Why? Because that which is most sacred to you is like a flower whose petals may fall at any moment. To speak about Jesus is to speak not at what's the periphery of my life, but at the center of my life. How will the other person receive it? How will they understand it? And so Jesus said, wait for the power, because you're going to need the power. You're going to need the power, because speaking about anything, much less the Lord, has always been hard, sacred things being the hardest, but speaking to people is not easy. That's why I never come up here alone, y'all. When I speak to you, and you're an easy crowd because you basically believe what I believe most Sundays. All right? I mean, basically. I mean, sure, you catch me at the door sometimes like, I didn't believe that. But for the most part, you believe what I believe. So that's not that hard, but I don't even come up in front of you on my own. I wait, you know what for? Thank you. That was weird. I didn't expect that. You just gave it back. Yeah, the power. So the point is, it's just hard to speak. I remember our daughter, Catherine, she was so shy. And in the when she was little, she had this report. The teacher said, you have to come and give her an oral presentation. She did the papers, no problem. She wrote it. She had no problem. And then it's like, Dad, this week's going to be the oral presentation. It's like, I can help you. Milton S. Hershey. Oh, my goodness, did we hear about Milton S. Hershey? I don't know how she got Milton S. Hershey, but in the shower, Milton S. Hershey was born in 1857. You know, Milton S. Hershey started the caramel company. Milton S. Hershey started the chocolate company. Milton S. Hershey was started an orphanage, was a great philanthropist, bought tickets on the Titanic, but didn't go. Isn't that great? That's like the best trip you ever missed, right? How do I know all this about Milton S. Hershey? Because that little girl said it over and over and over and over. I mean, we're never going to forget Milton S. Hershey. Why? Why did she practice and practice and practice? And then the day came and she went to school, you know, shaking. Because why? Why? Because she knew her friends would be in the back laughing and giggling, you know, hoping she didn't do well so that it wouldn't be so bad when they got up there. You know how it is. Because it's hard to speak. It's hard to speak a word even to a person, much less a crowd. She came home. I said, how'd it go? She said, it was fine, but I'm just exhausted. She's a little kid. I think she said exhausted. Hard to speak. So Jesus said, when you go to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, before you go, wait. For the power of the Holy Spirit. Because they're going to need power. They're going to need the Holy Spirit. I wonder if they remembered. I wonder if when they were in the upper room, they said, hey, everybody remember Samson? How the Holy Spirit came on Samson and he had the power to defeat his enemy. Hey, remember Gideon? Remember how Gideon didn't know how to lead and thought he had a big army and then God reduced the army, but the Holy Spirit gave him power to lead? Remember how King Saul was just a nobody until the Holy Spirit came on him, the prophet anointed him, and then when the Holy Spirit left him, he became not a leader again. Did they talk about all that? I don't know. But we would do well to remember that the Holy Spirit doesn't start with us today. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, has been on the church, has been on God's people from the beginning of time. And so at Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, on the big day of the festival, on the big day of the event, the Spirit fell on them with a rushing wind. Sounded like planes going off at Dulles when the wind changes and they go right over the church. And you think, Lord, have you come again? Right? And then it was like light, like tongues of fire on their heads, the wind, the light, and suddenly the crowd that was out in the street, see, those windows, they weren't blocked. Those windows were open in that upper room. And so people began to ask, what is going on up there? And when you see light, you think fire. And when you think fire in the ancient world, you come running. Why? Because somebody else's fire may become your fire pretty soon. And they all come from all these people from all over the world. And they've got all these different languages, and they're all asking the same question, what is going on here? And the disciples begin to speak as you sang with the tongues of languages from all those places that God had helped the Jewish people go. And everybody realized, wait a minute, are you hearing this in your voice? Are you hearing this in your language? Your mother tongue? Are you hearing this in your language? Aren't these people from Judea? By the way, that is not a compliment. That's like, isn't he from Winchester? It's like that. It's not a compliment. It's like, these people can't possibly have that education to know all these languages. They didn't have to have the great education because you know what they had? They had the power. See, and when you have the power, it's not just you. And that's why many of us don't talk about Jesus. Many of us don't talk about Jesus because we feel like it's just me. It's just going to be Tom up there on his own. And Tom in the conversation one-on-one, and what's the other person going to think? Because the other person may agree with me, but they may also not know a thing about Jesus, and I'm trying to tell them what's sacred to me, and they don't know a thing about it. Or they may be somebody who, if I talk about Jesus, will ridicule me. because they've got some issue about Christians and some issue about religion and some issue, because God help us, doesn't everybody have some issue, amen? And you're just wondering, oh, you know, am I going to open it up? And they, unless I've got the power. And it's not my power, it's not me, it's not me working through God, it's God working through what? Me. You're just the vehicle. You're not responsible up to God enough that we speak about Jesus. And what are we speaking about? Well, they begin to ask all these questions, and Peter stands up. Peter stands up and says, hey, everybody, this is like what the prophet Joel, Peter, a fisherman, who 40 days ago denied Jesus three times. People walked up to him in the courtyard and said, weren't you with him? He's like, no. He came and he's quoting the prophet Joel. This is what the prophet Joel said in the last days. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Life he has seen, the miracles, witness to who God is and what God was doing as Jesus. His death you have seen. Many of you were here in the city when he was crucified. And actually what he's saying is some of you are implicated. Some of you all were yelling, crucify him. His life you know, his death you know, but of his resurrection, we are the witnesses. Now you see what he's doing there? Of his life you know, of his death you know, but of his resurrection, we in this room, we are his witnesses, and I'm going to tell you about that right now. And Peter goes on to tell the story of hope, the hope of the resurrection, how God has raised this Jesus to life and we are witnesses of it. He's speaking about the hope that comes in Jesus, and that is just so difficult, and yet he does it because he had the power. And if you would today on Pentecost Sunday, because you just thought, I'm going to be an extra zealous Christian today, I'm going to read the rest of the book of Acts, you know what you'd discover? There's a story of power after power after power after power, and it's not how great the people were. They were as normal as me and as normal as you. They were as timid as you. They were as less likely to speak as you and of me. But they had something. What was it? The power, because that's what Pentecost was all about. It was about the power of the Holy Spirit. And in a few moments, you're going to come and receive Holy Communion. And we will take bread and taste the cup, and we will pray that the Holy Spirit will fall upon us and give us power. And you may need power for many reasons, because the prayer concern list is never short, because you've got stuff in your own relationships, because you've got decisions to make and home and work and community, and we grieve the world and our own nation, all the things that are going on. We need the power for many reasons, but can I tell you something, friends? We need the power to tell other people about Jesus, because you know what people need right now? They need hope. Because you know what they got an abundance of? They got abundance of sarcasm, an abundance of cynicism. They've got an abundance of dead ends and people going nowhere. People who have worked hard their whole life but hold little of significance and less of meaning. And you know what they could use? They could use some hope. And some days, you're right in front of them and the Holy Spirit's just tapping you on the shoulder like crazy. We've been talking about this, right? Tapping you on the shoulder like crazy, and you're going, oh, but I can't do that because I'm not. I just get uncomfortable. God doesn't care about your comfort. I mean, so do you hear that? God does not care about my comfort. You know what the Lord cares about? The Lord cares if I show up for duty. I show up for service. And when you show up, the Lord always equips those the Lord calls. And when you show up and open up, you find some days that the Lord just gives us the power to speak about Jesus and offer somebody the hope they need. The hope of what? The hope of forgiveness, the hope of redemption, the hope of purpose, the hope of service, the hope of joy. It's so many things. You don't have time for all of it today. So when you come for communion, come humbly with your hands just like this and receive the bread and take that cup and taste of the cup. But when you bow your heads to pray, ask for the power. Because the power is how you go out the doors and you bring hope and life. You see, of his life they know, of his death they know, but of the resurrection, we are his witnesses. Amen. Amen. Amen.